And welcoming, dear listeners, obviously, here on your Tuesday programming, obviously, this being the... It's supposed to be the home run, as always, as we always have done, but we've got a special particular program coming through with the Namibia Agronomic Board, and this is an insightful discussion lined up for you today. If you've seen our social media platform, you would have seen the particular planned interview that would take place from now 4:30 up until 5:30. Obviously, this will include two particular experts from the horticulture industry. Selma, can we call it an industry, or should we say rather from, our discussion will be focused on one particular point, a potato point, but if we say a horticulture, because you're obviously a horticultural development officer, and our second guest will obviously be Selma, who will come a little bit, Emily, sorry Selma, you're sitting right in front of me, and Emily will obviously share with us other particular aspects. However, in our starting point for today, dear listeners, just to cite, joining me in studio is Madam Selma Wahengo, who is an horticulture development officer. Selma, I'd like to give you the opportunity of saying hello, welcome, thank you for joining us in the studio. This is your first stint. Don't worry. And obviously, you're here to share with us a lot of details, primarily for our planned discussion today.
Thank you very much, David, for welcoming me in the program, and good afternoon, Namibia. This is Selma Wahengo from the Namibian Agronomic Board, and I'm a horticulture development officer. Thank you.
And obviously, we're going to be taking a look, dear listeners, at the insightful discussion that is planned on the poster that you would have seen on social media platforms. For myself and Selma here in studio, we'll obviously be looking at the exciting opportunity for Namibian farmers, this being the Potato Value Chain Development Scheme that was recently announced by the Namibian Agronomic Board. Now, Selma, if we obviously, start off on our discussion and we look into this particular discussion, I actually want to throw in one particular sort of like fact that I discovered the other day when the Namibian Agronomic Board launched its annual report about 2 weeks back. Potato is actually a very, very popular particular crop. However, when we start off on our discussion here today, can you briefly tell our listeners about the current state of potato production in Namibia, hence the reason why I cited that interesting fact, and also how much are we actually producing locally compared to what we actually import?
That's a very great question. Currently, Namibia consumes about 30,000 tons of potatoes each year. Mm. Unfortunately, local production only covers 34% of that, roughly 8,200 tons, while the rest of the potatoes are imported mainly from South Africa and other countries. This means that a large portion of the potato market is still dominated by the imports, which is exactly why we want to change the situation via the scheme.
Okay, all right. Now, if we also take a particular at the next point in our conversation, can Namibia really produce enough potatoes? This has obviously also been much of the conversations that many people have had. But do we have the right conditions in terms of the land, the water, and the climate?
Absolutely. Namibia have got several production zones with great potential for potato farming, such as Zambezi, Kavango, Central, Karst, Orange, South, North Central, and we have suitable soil and favorable temperature in these areas. What has been missing is a structured support in terms of imports, training, and markets. That is where the scheme is coming in order to help the farmer to use the right technologies and practice in order to boost the production of the potatoes.
And if we also take a look at our next point, if we have to get now into the details of the Potato Value Chain Development Scheme, how much has been allocated to this program and how will it actually work?
NAB has allocated 5.5 million for the 2025-2026 financial year to implement the scheme. And every year we'll select 45 farmers from all the 7 production zones I have mentioned in the previous point. And every year we'll and the main goal is to stimulate commercial potato production through subsidy imports, capacity building, and market facilitation. And this is part of our broad 5-year crop value chain development strategy, which aim to reduce the imports and strengthen the local production system in Namibia.
And if this particular scheme is fully implemented, can we expect to see a significant reduction in the imports by the end of 2025?
Basically, that is our expectation. With consistent participation and support from the farmers, we aim to increase local potato production capacity each season. While total import will be impossible to eliminate completely, but this scheme is a big step towards closing that gap and build a sustainable local production industry.
Now, also taking a particular look at the next talking point coming through, Selma. Now, if we have to talk about the benefits, you mentioned that farmers stand to gain quite a lot under this particular scheme. Can you briefly outline what they'll actually receive?
The six key benefits farmers will benefit from this scheme is a subsidy on like imports. Farmers will get 50% subsidy on the certified seed, fertilizer, agrochemicals for their first planting season. And then the second planting season, we are only offering 25% of the subsidy. And then they will also receive the training and the mentorship for the two planting season. And this is going to be free of charge. And also market access. Farmers will be exposed to sign planting agreement or offtake agreement upon harvest. Their product will penetrate straight in the markets. And also, we've got a memorandum of understanding with Agribank. So we'll also facilitate for the farmers to get production loans. And also capacity building beyond production. We are also focusing on equipping farmers with business and record keeping skills for the long-term sustainabilities. So these benefits are designed to make sure that farmers not only grow potatoes, but do so successfully on a profitable scale.
And obviously when we look at all those wonderful benefits coming through, Selma, now it does sound comprehensive, which is what you mentioned right now. What are the particular requirements for the farmers and who actually want to apply and who actually want to participate in this particular scheme?
For the farmers that want to participate in the scheme, number one, you should be a Namibian citizen, and they should also be registered as a producer with the Namibian Agronomic Board. And you should also have proof of land ownership or authorization from a traditional leader or a lease agreement. And they should also have a functional irrigation system and reliable water source. And the functional irrigation system here, we are referring to sprinkler, drip, or center pivot at least. Mm. And you should also have soil test from an accredited a lab.
Mm.
That will provide us the kind of nutrients that are lacking in your soil and so forth, and what do you need to improve it. And also, farmers should be willing to sign offtake agreement with the local buyers. And importantly, they must show proof of funds to cover operational costs, since the scheme only subsidizes part of the inputs. So, and before approval, NAB official will contact the field assessment to verify that all the conditions are met. So once the application is received and you ticked off, all the boxes will come and verify to say what you filled in. Is it really the reality on the ground?
Now, if we also get into the particular next point, and it's actually wonderful in terms of the breakdown that you provided, Selma, but the notion in terms of how can interested farmers apply and where can they actually find these particular forms?
Farmers can download the official application form from the Namibian Agronomic Board website. That is www.nab.com.na under the potato value chain section. And once completed, application should be submitted by not later than Monday, 10th November 2025 from now. It should be submitted to any of the NAB officers responsible for the region and here are their contact details. In CAST, farmers can contact Ms. Paulina Mubiana at 081-333-20. In Zambezi and Kavango, farmers can contact Mr. Patrick Rubanda at 081-289-5454. In North Central, farmers can contact Mr. Paulus Nashapi at 081-4402-669. And in Central, Orange, and South, can contact me, Selma Wahengo, at 081-22-65234.
And if we also look at the next talking point, which so far all the particular wonderful information sets that you've dealt, that you've shared and that you've helped us understand so far, Selma, before we actually wrap up our discussion, is there any final message to the farmers who would be listening today?
Yes, I just want to encourage all the farmers, all the new and existing farmers, to take advantage of these opportunities. Potatoes are one of the Namibians' most consumed crops, and there is a huge potential for local farmers to benefit out of this scheme. So the NAB is committed to support you every step of the way, from training to market access. So let's work together. Let's make Namibia self-sufficient in terms of potato production, and let's produce what we eat and eat what we produce. Thank you.
Now, specifically also, before we take a quick break, dear listeners, first thanking you, Madam Wahengo, for joining us and sharing this important information with us. That was Selma Wahengo from the Namibian Agronomic Board, dear listeners, talking about the potato value chain development scheme for the 2025-2026 period. For more details, remember to visit the www.nab, that's Namibia Agronomic Board, just the acronym, .com.na, or contact your nearest NAB office. Selma, I'd like to thank you for participating in the discussion, but before we actually close it off, let's quickly take a short break and we come back right after that.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impa? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Impa has to offer at an unbeatable price. Impa, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Goeie nuus, Impa het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. Is jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Impa te geniet? Kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand, of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Impa bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Impa, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodrits at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any other
station. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye. Listen to Eagle FM in Lodrits at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
So coming back, dear listeners, and welcoming you once again, we're still here on the very interesting engagement specifically with the Namibia Agronomic Board. And ultimately, this is based upon the Potato Value Chain Development Scheme. Now, in studio, joining me here, and you would have heard her in the first part in terms of the engagement, in terms of highlighting some of the interesting information bits, as well as also the various contact details that you can access across the country. That obviously being Madam Selma Wahengo, in terms of just highlighting and citing some of the interesting developments that is contained within the Potato Value Chain Development Scheme. Now, there's also another interesting scenario. I actually have Madam Wahengo here just for a limited time frame. There's obviously still someone else coming to join us, that from the Agronomic Board itself, Namibian Agronomic Board itself, that being Madam Emily, who will also cite the various interesting developments and talking points regarding the scheme itself. Just to indicate to you as well, dear listeners, we are having this conversation up until 5:30. You have the opportunity of participating in conversations by calling through at 083-288-401, the studio number right here. Any interesting aspects, facts, information bits that you heard from Selma sharing the particular discussion around the Potato Value Chain Development Scheme, call through, ask your question directly. Well, you can also, you know, get your response also when Emily steps in as well. However, Selma, since I still have you for the next 10 minutes and the interesting aspects and information bits that you shared, the Potato Value Chain Development Scheme obviously has been in existence. I just want you to share that unique aspect once again. Obviously, this is a 2025-2026 cycle that you cited at the start, but just citing some of the interesting talking points that obviously emanated from there. But before we actually continue, just give us a, you know, an indication in terms of, you know, the level at which potatoes has become a staple, by citing the various is it values, basically, or the amount of potatoes that Namibia actually has or consumes and makes use of.
If you look at the number of tons we consume per month, like that is 30 tons per annum, that we consume as a country, and compared to the 8.2 tons that we make domestic production. So if you look at our feast, our ceremonies, we consume potatoes. But then when it comes to the production, the demand is not talking to the consumption. That's why now NAB is pushing this scheme in order to meet the demand
for the local production demand.
This is the consumption. So therefore, I think if farmers put in effort and then we all get consistent and put our hands in the basket in order to welcome this scheme, I think we'll be able to meet the demand versus the production.
And then there's obviously also the very interesting aspect in terms of the, if we take a look primarily at all the demand, which is technically also an absorption, because you've got hospitality, you've got restaurants, you've got everyday uses, you've got agricultural processes feeding into that. So yes, it does speak towards, like you highlighted, the sort of like demand versus the local production level. But before we actually continue, dear listeners, do remember you have the opportunity of still coming through with questions and comments, as well as also participatory contributions. On that note, we quickly take once again a short break and come back right after this.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye. Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
And coming back, dear listeners, and also welcoming into the studio, obviously, as mentioned, if you've seen the poster on our social media that coming through on the Eagle FM and the Villager social media platforms, we have the Namibia Agronomic Board here on board it's the next 5 minutes up to five, but from 4:30 to 5:30, the conversation regarding the potato value chain development scheme. We've obviously had a lot of insightful information coming through from Madam Selma Wahengo in terms of just understanding the developments specifically regarding the scheme, but also joining us in the studio right now is Madam Emily Abram. Emily, it's been a long time since we've met the last time, which was last year for the same conversation, I think. Or was it a different conversation last year?
It was a different conversation, but we are always together.
Yes, we're always together.
We speak so many times, and it feels like we are always together. So.
And obviously, the particular conversation we're having right now is an interesting development. Mm-hmm. Selma already cited to us the scheme is 2025 to 2026. Mm-hmm. There's a curveball I'm going to throw into a conversation we've had so far. Mm-hmm. Selma, I wanted to throw this to you, but you actually blocked me in our... before we stepped into the studio. If we look at the aspect of the kind of potato that Namibians, because obviously people just see a tomato and they go like, a potato is a potato. But is there a specific a designated potato that is adequate for Namibia's climate and its particular vegetation, soils, and the likes? Because obviously I'm leveraging off your knowledge and your expertise as the horticultural experts in front of me. What does that look like specifically? And if you want to share like market insights in terms of the requisite potato for Namibia, what does it look like? Because I went on a potato deep dive and I didn't realize that it's more like, is it 30,000? Different species, because the museum sits somewhere in South America. Mm-hmm. The museum, because obviously that's where the thing comes from. Yes.
Yes, David. I think that's a brilliant question. Maybe I'll just start by complimenting my colleague Selma, who already alluded to what entails the potato development scheme.
Yep.
It's just to say the main idea for coming up with this initiative is actually to reverse the high importation of potatoes. If you look at the statistic, you'll be able to see that the import bill for potato is actually very high, standing at almost 160 million. And that's a lot of money. And I always like to tell the farmers and also the general public to say, when you are importing a lot of things from other countries, you are actually exporting your jobs. Because the same amount that you are spending there, you're actually encouraging producers on the other side to say, plant more, because we need your product.
And that the demand is coming from Namibia.
And the demand is coming from Namibia.
Yeah.
So what we are looking at is to say, we have a huge responsibility as the Namibian Agronomic Board, as per the mandate that we are given to take care of the crop value chain, to say that what do we need to do so that we empower our farmers to be able to produce, expand, or maybe start, because sometimes the person wants to start, but capital or seed capital can be a challenge.
Mm.
And we have been now looking for, if you look at historically, we've been now pushing, let us grow this. But then we realize that as a parent, we need to go into the industry and collect the information and understand the needs of the farming community to say what is exactly that is hindering you from producing potato. Because if you look at the potato, potato is loved most because of varam chips. That's why I want to come.
It's not just, I should know, Selma, yeah? you have restaurants, you've got hospitality, you've got, then there's obviously the industrialization part. There are also other aspects where potato finds itself present and it's a large footprint.
It's a large footprint, and that's where I'm coming to say, just already by maybe looking at the statistic that we consume, to say the tonnage we consume per month, it's close to 3,600 per month. And if you now take it, for example, in a year, you have to multiply 3,600 tonnage that we consume. And remember that tonnage is just the volume that went through the formal market. We are not talking about the informal market. And the informal market is very quite huge in Namibia. We started registering the vendors and we were so shocked to see that already our figures are going to 500 already.
Yeah.
And we are told that we
are... Is it like the regular street vendors?
Yes, street vendors. They are quite a lot and they are contributing significantly to the economic development of this country, especially on the side of horticulture. They are buying produce from the producers and sell. And some of them, they buy from the retailers that source from the producers, which means that they are critical role players
in the distribution
systems. So now to go back to the statistic again to say, if you look at now the volume that we push through the formal market is 3,600 per month. And you look at now the unaccounted for that goes through the informal market, which could be double or it could be maybe 60%.
Yeah.
So we are going to talk about 5,000 or 6,000 tonnage. But then again, my heart always bleeds when we see we are only able to bring maybe 20 or 30% of what we consume. So meaning that when you go to the supermarket, you only own 30% or maybe 35%.
Which is on the shelf.
On the shelf, what we produce in the country. And 65 or maybe sometimes 70 is coming from outside. And that is what we are now looking at as a board to say, no, this cannot be true. We need to see how we reverse this situation because potato is a staple food. It's actually second to pap. I love pap myself, but
no. Based on your statistics itself, I mean, what Selma also shared now with us is that it seems actually it's number one.
It is actually number one crop out of 156.
So we talk about staple
product that we import in. It's actually number one crop that we actually consume, and I can tell you that 1 year I think we closed the borders for two weeks only, because the peak season for Namibia normally start from July, beginning of August. You find that farmers are able to get high harvest or to be able to harvest more than what they expected.
Yeah.
And we tempted to close the border just to allow them to sell what we have on the table. It only took us 2 weeks.
For everything to be consumed.
For everything to be consumed. And people, they were calling nonstop. Some of them, they are even complaining, no, why we cannot? And farmers even came to us because they were overwhelmed by orders to say, no. We thought we are able to make it, but we can't open the borders because we can't. So that is what we are looking at to say. We want now to start now to sensitize the farming community to expand their field and also particularly targeting the small scale farmers who have challenges to acquire quality seeds to plant. Because if you look at the volume that is coming through, it's just coming from the commercial farmers. The small scale farmers are not really participating. And you want them also to be included in the mainstream economy. And that's why we are now looking at to say the scheme is providing 50% on the quality seeds, which is supposed to be sourced from the reputable source. I think my colleague already alluded to that. And we are also looking at subsidizing the fertilizer cost because fertilizer is very expensive now. And chemical also, because for you to actually grow a healthy crop, you need the pesticide, you need to control pesticide. And that's where we are now looking at those critical items, the fertilizers, the pesticide, and then your high quality seed. Because some farmers also, the challenge that we have, the small one, you find that they go to the shop, they collect the normal potato that we consume, and then they cut it into pieces, and then they grow. That is not seed.
I think that's what happened to me. I tried that last year at home.
Don't do it again.
That horticulture. No, we also made a mistake primarily just to share a little bit of my own particular experiment at home.
Yes.
We realized that if you unfortunately buy the wrong soil, if you try your own backyard gardening and you buy the wrong soil, there's also something known as infected soil sometimes. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the whole kernel, that thing that we cut up, was chewed up completely. The microorganisms.
Yeah, that's now bring us to what I want to emphasize on soil and adaptability, because you have requested also, you have asked that question.
Mm.
I think when it comes now to the quality of seed is very critical.
Yeah.
Because if it's an inferior seed, or maybe it's already infected from wherever it's coming from, then obviously you are doomed to fail before you start. You have already failed before you start planting. Because you find that some farmers, they bought some seed back. I don't know where they got them from.
Mm.
They planted. The canopy looks so green.
Mm.
They invested a lot of money to buy fertilizer, pesticide. And eventually during harvest, when they pull the potato, there's nothing.
Mm.
Or some of them, they already find the roots are already attacked.
Yeah.
So that's why now what we are looking at also is to say, you need to test your soil and prove to us that your soil, what is the status of your soil?
Mm.
Because it is one of the requirements that we seek you to submit together with your application. Did you test your soil? Is it fit for that purpose?
Mm.
What type of nutrients that are already existing in the soil so that you can just complement with the fertilizers? And obviously, when you are now going to procure your fertilizers, you also be informed by the by the soil test analysis and recommendation.
Mm.
So that's why you find that most of the things that we put there is to address the current situation that are there, so that we actually put the farmer in the right path to start farming correctly.
Mm.
Because sometimes also the mismanagement, or it starts with a simple thing, and then you'll
for example,
have
like with soil.
Yes, something like a soil, the way you put it. Something like sourcing the
seed
inferior
or,
seed. Something like just planting using a blanket method approach, which is planting without knowing what exactly is there.
Mm.
You keep on pumping fertilizer until the salt build up in the soil, and it starts now again having an impact on the microorganisms that are in the soil.
Mm.
Because remember, synthetic fertilizers are fine. They are good for commercial purposes because they increase yield.
Yeah.
But when they are overused, they also have a very severe impact on your soil.
Yeah.
And that's why you find that some farmers, they have dead soil, because the soil is supposed to be alive.
Is it the term you just used now, Emily, is it like a buildup of salt?
Yes.
Actual salt. Like salt crystals.
You know, for example, when they are preparing those fertilizers, some of them, they use actually those, they use a kind of salt to mix up, because remember, salt has a role to play.
Yeah.
Although
yeah.
it's not salt that we used to consume
yeah.
To put in our food, but what we are saying is that when you are putting it more,
there's going to be build up.
Then it will build up because it will not be utilized. The plant will only take up
what it needs.
What it needs. And then it leave it there. So as now you apply and apply, you even find that now the yield will decline because you are actually now overloading. It's like, for example, putting chili.
Mm.
Those of you who like chili. If you put, for example, a whole bag of chili, do you still want to eat the chili? You won't be able to do that.
No, but if every meal is going to have chili, it's going to be a problem, yes.
Yeah, it will be a problem as well. And that's why we are saying that you want them to start doing proper and smart farming.
Mm.
And that is now, you see that we also have mentorship service, which is coming at no cost, free of charge. So we'll be now carrying you. We will holding your hand for 2 planting seasons.
Mm.
And then after we are satisfied that now you are weaned, you are good to go, you can be on your own, then we release you so that you can also accommodate others.
Mm.
So those things that you are talking about, they are really genuine concern. And that is actually why you see that the way we structure the scheme is to address the shortcomings that we have experienced or that farmers are experiencing, and for us also to be able to promote production.
Yeah.
And eventually we are looking at creating employment,
because
we have a lot of graduates that are doing agriculture. A lot of universities now, they are offering agriculture and also vocational schools.
Mm.
But then the question is, where are these people going to be? Because agriculture is a vocational subject on its own.
Mm.
And I always like to say, even a grade 12 holder, if we could actually take agriculture as a vocational subject, you find that some people from other countries, I don't want to mention names, you find that they are even just maybe a grade 10 dropout, or somebody who just completed grade 12, but can manage a farm. But the question is, that's come back to us.
Mm.
Can someone who actually end up in grade 10, who did agriculture, be able to manage a farm?
Mm.
Can someone who completed university in Namibia, who have done agriculture, manage a farm? Success. And that is a concern. And what we are saying is that the more we have more farmers in the country, the more also students are able to get exposed.
Yeah.
Because they can be sent to several farmers. They can actually work and learn there.
Mm. Mm.
And we will eventually have the younger generation participating also in farming. So I think that is actually what we are looking at. And it has really a lot of a positive impact. That's what we assume, although we are still at the starting line.
Mm.
But we are looking at all those things to say to stimulate local production, to create job, enhance food security, and also reverse the high importation of potato in the country. And mm. and maybe just to come back to you to say, in terms of environmental requirement, look, normally what we do is that NAB has what we call Research and Development Department.
Mm.
That division is specifically responsible to research and do experimental research, especially on varieties that we think are suitable for this country and on crops that you want to start growing, looking at the demand
mm.
and the market behaviors. So what we did is that in the past, we did also some trials. We ran those trials using several potato seed cultivars across the country. Of course, we realized that the data or the findings, they are really very strongly in terms of to say potato is highly sensitive to frost.
Mm.
But the positive feedback is that most of the area in Namibia, they can grow potatoes,
mm.
provided that you are planting your potato in the right time. It's about planting, correct timing as well.
Mm.
And that will also be incorporated in our trainings because we have to train them properly.
And obviously the pre-preparation that you cited.
And the pre-preparation yeah. as well. I think that preparations, it's also the issue of planting timing or the correct planting time.
Mm.
So we have no doubts that potato cannot grow here because in any case it's already being produced.
Exactly.
We have farmers that are producing it. We just need to start now expanding and spread our wings to say, even in rural communities, let us produce potatoes.
Mm.
And maybe one thing that I want to highlight also is that when we are doing the research, we gave some farmers, small scale farmers, seed, and then we say, look, that is your baby. Take care of this of the potato. Buy your fertilizer, buy your chemicals. We just provide mentorship.
Mm.
And I can tell you it worked so well. They produce and we say, because you bought the production input, the potato is yours at harvesting.
Mm.
And they were even saying that even before they even load those potatoes, people, they were already calling nonstop.
Mm. So they already had the orders?
They already have orders.
Yeah.
And from there, most of them that participated in the trials, I'm talking about trials,
mm.
they started now having passion to grow potato because they realize potato is rewarding.
Mm.
Of course, it comes with the implication. If you did not plant it so well such that maybe you just plant at the same field year after year,
mm.
it might bring some complication because potato is a heavy feeder and it can deplete your soil.
Yeah.
And even in terms of, also in terms of the nematodes or any other pest might be actually be accumulating because we're just planting the same thing.
Mm.
I think it's also another thing that farmer, they need also to, or will have to train them how to do crop rotation
mm.
to make sure that they also pay attention to farm with the soil and at the same time also farm with the potato. So I think those aspects are very critical. But I just want to highlight that potato is doable. Other people are doing it. We can do it as well. And the most potato that are normally demanded in the country is the chips potatoes, which is actually, you talk of your Mondio.
Yeah.
Mondio is coming from South Africa. Some they grow also Sifra, but Mondio is actually one of the potato that is required. But again.
But is it the most popular?
It's the most popular one. And then we have also Sifra and others. And I think I also saw now some others are growing Vala or something.
Mm.
There's quite a lot of varieties that are in the market. But then you find that the chips potato is highly demanded because you find that people, they love Varam chips.
Yeah,
and
they do.
You go everywhere, you find people are queuing up.
And it's an easy to eat meal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's why you see that even when they are coming, those that are going to apply, the beneficiaries, I said it again that we will have a mentorship service for them.
Mm.
We will have also, we have to do some intensive training for them. And in those training, we are going to also to unpack the market requirements. Even when they are calling, they are coming through with their applications. We have our officials that are on the ground, the like of Selma's and the colleagues that are not here. They will have to go in the field. And then they assess and already provide ad hoc advice, spot on based on the needs of the farmer.
Of that specific farmer.
Yes, yeah. Because farmers' needs are not the same. Yeah. I like to say, even if you are neighbors, you cannot have the same soil. You cannot have the same water.
You don't even have the same rain patterns.
You don't have the same rain patterns. Yeah. And that's a good one because we even saw one farmer there in, I think, Otavitsume area where the rainfall that he received, it's quite shocking as compared to the neighbor farms.
Yeah.
You find that he received actually more millimeters per annum as compared to other farmers.
Or like what the guys that I heard in Hartup. Some of the guys, it rained in a corner of the farm and then his neighbor got the majority of the, it's as if Namibia draws lines with rainfall for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want you to ask, to touch on the market access component, Emily, in terms of, you've cited obviously the orders were there for some of the trial farmers in terms of when the trial process had been done. Obviously, you know, there has been a lot more participants taking place in the scheme over, just to resuscitate our memories, when did the scheme start again? You know, the rollout, not for this cycle, but in terms of the age, how old is the scheme in terms of its cycle? Just for our listeners also to once again understand that there's actually testimonies out there that people have seen.
Yeah, maybe just to start with the scheme to say, potato scheme in particular is a baby, but it's actually falling within a market share promotion scheme.
Mm.
It is actually part and parcel of market share promotion scheme.
Mm.
If I have maybe to give you just a small overview of the scheme, the market share promotion scheme by definition is just for us to promote the
locally grown stuff.
Locally grown stuff.
Yeah.
It's basically like a homegrown, I mean,
it's like the homegrown strategy that MIT had, Ministry of Industry and Trade.
Yes, but this one is specifically now for horticulture.
Yeah.
So the scheme started in 2005. At that particular time, a lot of retailers were just importing potatoes from elsewhere. And also the production that time was also very low.
Mm.
It can be that farmers were also not really having that zeal to participate because the market access was not really well defined.
And we also had a great obsession with livestock farming.
Exactly, and livestock farming. But now, as time goes now, they are also now realizing that climate change is real and it's evident.
Mm.
And it also causes everybody to start implementing what you call paradigm shift.
Mm.
Because the reality is that change is inevitable.
Mm.
It's either you change or the climate change will change you.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. So what we are saying now is that when we started now in 2005, we look at it to say the country was only able to bring on the shelf, our farmers will only be able to claim 5% on the market shelf. And we said that cannot be true.
Yeah.
Because 95%, you are heavily relying on other countries to supply you. 95%. Those who are good mathematicians will say it's almost equivalent to 100 because 5 can round 9.
Yeah,
because
you're already at the 5 of the 95. Yeah.
So we then came up with the market share promotion scheme to stimulate production, because when you take care of the market access, it encourages the producer to produce more because they are so sure, and it's like a guarantee that your crop is going to land on the shelf.
Mm.
So when that now scheme was introduced, a lot of people, they started now planting, expanding their fields. And then as we speak, we are now standing at 47%.
Yeah.
Meaning that if you go on the shelf, at least you own 47%.
Mm.
But that's now an aggregated figure for all of them.
Yeah.
But in particular now for coming now in 2012 there, we then also realized that market share alone, for us to say, traders, you must procure this particular percentage from the farmers and import this percentage. We realized that it is effective, but it's not enough.
Mm.
We then introduced what we call special control product scheme. That scheme is where now we actually listed the product that are strongly produced in the country or our farmers are able to produce.
Mm.
And we then now decided to say every month, whenever we have enough, we close the border a little bit just to protect our farmers, because they are a baby. We can't allow them to compete with the countries that have full muscles. I know people have
and who are literally, you know,
exporting producing at economies of scale as we are just starting. So what we realized is that, okay, we then listed potato. It was listed in 2012 and then onions. And what came out strongly is that potato, we eat potato, but we use onions.
Mm.
That is the difference. So we eat potato and we use onions. So the demand for potato came out strongly because people consume potato. They don't use potato.
Mm.
What I'm trying to say is that I can cook a meal without onions, but I can still eat and go to sleep.
Because I was going to ask that question. I mean, because I was like, okay, the onion component, because I've also seen that we do have a strong base for growing onions.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, you know, NAB would be, you guys would be in a better position to say, okay, comparing the onion import versus the onion growth, obviously, because there's the purple, is it the red onion? It's known as red onion, the purple one. And then you've obviously got the mainstay normal white onion. And those, obviously, not many people buy the red onion.
You know, some of the things is about also an understanding.
But it's not about the onions. I'm sorry.
It's not about onions. I'll just say a little bit to say, for example, onion, we are very strong in terms of producing onions. We are also exporting to DRC. We are exporting to Angola. And at some stage, we also have to export to
even to South Africa.
To South Africa, especially when they had how do they call it?
2021.
Power shedding or something.
Or load shedding.
Load shedding or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we are doing very well with onions. Even if there's a product or commodity that one can stand and maybe just show off, you can actually pick onions because we do good with onions. Although then the brown onions is strongly demanded, mainly the medium size and prickle onions as compared to the large onions, because the larger onions, people, they don't like it so much. It's mostly for the fish canning industry. But then all I'm saying is that people use onions. They don't eat onions.
Yeah, they don't eat.
And that's why the demand is not as powerful as for potato, because potato is powerhouse. It's a carbohydrate product, and that's why it's competing
rich in minerals.
With staple food. Exactly.
Yeah, rich in
minerals. Now what we are saying is that I think what was your question again?
It was it was the aspect in terms of where you were leading into onions, potato.
Exactly. Yeah. When now we introduce that onion and potato, people, they start now to produce other crops. And then we added them. As we speak currently, we are standing at 20 product.
Mm.
So we monitor this production of this product. As we monitor it, we realize that, come on, the demand for potato is very high. And potato is number one crop. We import a lot of volume of potato every year.
Mm.
I think we need to do something so that we reverse the situation as soon as we can. And that's why if you look, I know it cannot be reversed immediately as of yesterday. And that's why you see that this scheme is actually addressing it step by step. Starting with the first, every year we will have to invest 5.5 million. Until 5 years when we'll have to invest 27.5 million. So meaning that what we are looking at it is that Namibia need to produce or to grow or to plant 800 and something
tons.
Hectares. Yes. Okay. And what we are targeting is that by at least 2030, we must be able at least to plant 450. Half of what we are not producing. Because currently you find sometimes we are only producing 130 hectares. And mind you, we need to produce 850 or 880 for us to be able to be self-sufficient. But we are producing 100 and something. Do you see how far we are?
So it's a massive deficit.
It's a massive deficit. And that's why I'm saying that we need to reverse this situation. Even if it's not as of yesterday, we need to take baby steps and eventually we will reach there. Because I always like to say, a touch is a move and the move is a touch. So you need to start doing something. If you don't do something, you don't touch anything, you're not moving. And that is where we are coming from to say the scheme started for so long and we then came out to single out and point out potato as a crop of concern. And that's what informed the development of this scheme. And we are just starting. So we are starting now targeting the planting season of December, January, Feb, because that's official planting season optimally for the potato. And we are looking forward for the farmers to engage with us and participate so that we produce what we love and eat what we love.
Exactly, exactly.
I think that is what we are looking at.
Yeah, and obviously the deficit that we cited, that is the market, because the market access, which is one of the benefits, obviously, to the farmers or the new farmers.
Yeah, maybe just to touch also on the market access, I almost forgot that, is just to say that, you know, production or market-led production approach is that is what we are advocating every day.
Mm.
Market-led production approach.
Mm.
We would want the farmer to adopt an approach of producing for the market, not produce and market.
Mm.
So there's a very big difference there. You produce to market and you're producing for the market.
Mm.
And that is why in this scheme, already once we list you as a beneficiary, you have to be linked to the former market.
That's now the offtake.
That is now the offtake.
Yeah.
So that when you are producing, you are so sure that I am going to sell to Emily or to David.
Mm.
And that on its own already is an incentive. It's like you are incentivizing somebody. Because,
yeah, because the order is so sure.
The orders are already there. But again, I know, even if we are going to link them to the former markets, the informer will also run after them.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you here that we are only be able to produce 35, if it's more, or 25 of what we consume.
Mm.
The remaining percentage is coming from outside.
Mm.
So which meaning that there's a huge gap, and the gap is an opportunity, as you put it.
Mm.
So the market is there. It's not a problem. And that's why you see that I know we are not going to be, it's not only NAB that will be able to rectify this challenge alone.
Mm.
We call upon also other stakeholders, and farmers are stakeholders as well.
Yeah.
And we also commend actually radios like, for example, Eagle FM. You are also doing something, and I must commend you for the passion in agriculture.
Well, we had the lovely story about the massive harvest a little bit earlier, which was June, July.
Okay.
About specifically that, was it more than, I don't want to say more than 20 tons. Yeah, it was more than 20 tons, yes. Or close to 20 metric tons.
Mm.
And that obviously was a success story. You know, one specific like example, a case study that cited that success story. So yes, that's the reason why I asked Emily at the start, you know, when you, of our discussion, what specific kind of potato? And then you highlighted, you know, the various kinds of variants that are obviously present in Namibia. And the market access thing is the good thing. Because in many cases, we obviously see many more vendors popping up, which is also a market extension of an existing market. We still have at least an opportunity for 4 or 5 more minutes before we actually end our discussion. Emily, is there still something you wanted to add before we end our talk? Or from your side as well, Selma, I'm going to ask you again, even though we started the discussion off as well. Still something that you wanted to add?
Yeah, maybe just to also encourage the farmers to reach out to us. I think Soma already highlighted the contact details because we have respective officials in respective production zones. Please reach out. Where possible, come to our office. Don't wait to be told things, because sometimes you might be told things that are wrong. You must come to hear from the horse's mouth so that you participate. This scheme is for the farmers, and we want them to take advantage of this scheme. Because if they leave it to be, for example, if we happen to have low uptake of this scheme, it defines that the problem is not production costs, as we have been citing, and the problem is not seed. It will actually pointing to say we do not want to produce and feed ourselves, but rather we want to be fed by a neighbor. And it's dangerous.
Yeah.
So I'm just then saying that please let us participate. Engage us. The formers are available on the website. We are opening doors for you. And that's the main reason why NAB is existing. We are existing because of the farmers, because of the buyers, because of the traders. And also there's also a component of access to tools and equipment. In case, for example, some farmers, they want to maybe hire some equipment or tools, or maybe they want to procure, we can also try to link them to the suppliers that can actually assist them with the mechanization, because sometimes you need to also use mechanical equipment so that you'll be able to fast track, for example, your harvesting, because the orders are waiting and you need to catch up with your, with the pace. So, and also another thing is just the finance, to say finance, there'll be a need for proof. You need to attach the proof of a finance that, yes, I'll be able to cover the 50%.
Mm.
It doesn't necessarily need to be in a liquidity form or to say to show cash, but it can also be in a form of a letter from your bank that I'm securing overdraft from maybe or a fund or a sponsor.
Mm.
Or if maybe you find yourself, you are a farmer in a green scheme, whereby they are maybe being funded 50% from the ministry or something, you just need to provide us with the form of a letter that, yes, this I'm able to cover the 50%. And the more last one that I like to comment is the ownership.
Mm.
If you look at it, is that a farmer called me today to ask, but what type of ownership should I provide? Why do you need this? It is very critical to prove to us and for us to understand that, what is your status with that land?
Mm.
Are you leasing or are you owning the land? Because in the past, we have learned that some people, they entered into gentleman agreement with their, maybe whether it's friends or neighbors or something, then they start planting. At the stage of harvesting, the owner changed the mind.
Because they now see maybe it's because successful. Because
they see now, oh, my field can now also have, so I see this, I'm sitting on the gold mine.
Yeah.
Then they were chased away from the field while their plants are almost there.
Mm.
And that's not what we are looking at, because that is a loss to us and it's a loss to you.
Mm.
So we want you to provide us a proof. If you are listening, whether it's to your parents or to a sibling or to relative or friends, put it on paper, black and white.
So that we know the status.
So that we know the status. And you attach that agreement that, yes, Emily, we are, I'm Emily and I'm in agreement to lease. For how long?
Mm.
Then we are so secured, because the moment you leave the crop unharvested, it's a loss to us, because that product is no longer going to be seen in the market.
Yeah.
And remember, we are targeting 50% to 60%. You won't reach there if we'll be now dwelling in chaos. And another thing also, farmers, step out and find out.
Mm.
Don't be too comfortable. I always tell people to say, comfort can kill everything.
Mm.
The world is revolving. We are changing every day. Opportunities are presented to you. Some people, they'll say, potato is too difficult. But they will be end up the one to apply while you are discouraged, and you go home and you continue with your tomatoes.
Mm.
Please step out and find out for yourself, not to hear what other people are doing. And lastly, just to also again encourage farmers to work together. Get organized. Some of you might not have a bigger land.
Mm.
Some others might be too big for you to fulfill them. But if you are organized in the same area and you are able to pull resources together, you can basically supply together. You can also bargain for inputs and it will become cheaper for you. You can bargain for transportation of your good.
Mm.
Farming will be much easier and it will be rewarding rather than doing it alone. I think I can end there.
100%. And on that particular note, specifically, welcome, thanking, that being Selma and Emily, for joining us today from the Namibian Agronomic Board. And I'm just going to pass the question once again, Emily and Selma. If there's anything I haven't asked, you still have the opportunity to do so. Contact details, perhaps, if people, you know, just to let you know, dear listeners, you can always either visit the particular NAB website itself as cited, which is just nab.com.na, and the contact details are there. If people who are not in the potato production scope yet, Selma, and Emily, can they still try to touch base? That's, for example, if they're livestock farmers, for that matter, because there's always an interesting aspect as well. Can they still touch base, ask, inquire from you guys, and then, you know, just also visit the same particular information sets?
Oh, you mean the livestock farmers too?
Yeah, can they also still ask? Because, I mean, the climate change is hitting everyone.
Yes, I think before I allow also my colleague Selma to run through quickly on the contact details, I just want to emphasize again and say this scheme is for the new farmers and the existing farmers. A new farmer is somebody who never planted but needs to be registered and have a land and water and want to start to step out and find out. Mm. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Please don't just focus on livestock. Mm-hmm. Climate change is serious and diversification is what we are promoting. You can basically apply. You are welcome.
Mm.
As long as you have water, reliable source, and you have land, those are the people that we are looking at. We are literally looking to recruit more farmers.
Yeah.
So for us, it will be actually a good news.
100%, 100%.
The contact officers for the various production zones, I've got Mr. Patrick Rubanda, that's representing Kavango and Zambezi, and he can be contacted at the 08128-95454, and then is Paulina Bobiana representing CAST. She can be contacted at 08131-33320, and Mr. Paulus Nashapi at Nono Central at 08144026699, and myself, Ms. Selma Hengo, at 08122652344. 100%. And lastly but not least, let's take up the opportunity. I remember during the COVID, we had shelves empty in the shops because of the closing of the what?
Of the borders.
The lockdowns.
Yeah.
So now, in my English language, they say that the left hand side should learn why the right hand side is 100%. Functioning. So let's take up the opportunity while the neighbors are still feeding us, maybe because tomorrow they will say, you know what, I can only be able to provide for my people. So, guys, see what you can do. So, let's take up the opportunity and grab the scheme as it comes. Thank you very much, listener. And it was so good being with you, David.
100%, 100%. I would like to say thank you once again, Emily and Selma. Guys, thank you for actually also opening up my eyes, Emily, specifically on the soil discussion. Because I know I'm not a farmer, but I'm going to try it again at home, specifically to look into the soil preparation. But the it's always out there, dear listeners, in terms of making contact once again with our guests who were in studio here with us. Mm-hmm. On that note, guys, I'd like to thank you once again. Thank you for taking the time. Also thank sharing you. This information with us.
Yeah, thank you for thanking us.
100%.
We recruit farmers everywhere.
100%.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you once again, guys. And we'll quickly be taking a short break, dear listeners, and coming back right after this.